birds they sang.
Yes, 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 and haven't they been singing? Welcome to CKTZ on Cortez Island. My name is George Cirque, and you're listening to Nature Boy.
Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Oh, the wars, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, have we got spring. Wow, is that ever spring? The sound of spring, the rufous hummingbirds are here, aren't they? These are about three or four of them at my feeder. They especially love that feeder, especially right at dusk. They come out in big, big, big numbers, and they battle amongst each other, and then they tolerate each other because they know that they've got to, cooperate to a point. They become very possessive of their, their food, you know, that nice, nice nectar. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I just love what's going on now. If you've been listening to my show, it's about nature, natural history. We live on a self-regulating super organism called planet Earth. Yeah, yeah. And a Gaian hypothesis is what I like. It's a self-regulating. It takes care of itself, surprisingly, eh? Well, otherwise, how would it get here and be here alive and well over 3 billion years later? It wasn't all random. It's not happening by chance. It responds to stimulus, and that's what it's doing all the time, just as we are. Now, I went out in the morning and got my recorder, and I noticed there was a lot of birds, quite a bit of activity after some of our lousy weather we've had, and I've got one of my recordings here of different species of birds. So I'm going to be hearing the sounds of different species, and sometimes I'll be making reference to them, as giving them their names, and then try to imitate them. So it's a quick little mini course on birds here, and try to listen for the pygmy owl. When I say actually try to listen on the recording, right around there, there's this. And I missed it when I was actually recording all the different bird songs. But later when I was listening to it, I went, oh, there's a little pygmy owl way in the background. So let's give this a shot and see if how this will work. Here we go. The trill with the descending pitch, a little inflection at the end of the orange crown warbler. That, you got the chickadee, chickadee dee dee dee. You can hear the yank, yank, yank in the background of the red-breasted nuthatch. course, the robin. Kick, 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 kick. The one going jui, jui, jui. That's the Hutton's vireo. That papapapapapiu, papiu, papiu, papiu. That's the ruby crown kinglet. And there was a winter wren here too. Make that sound. So, and a Stellar's jay as well. Quack, 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 quack. Okay, try to listen to all the songs again. It's amazing how one car 200 meters away can make so much sound, eh? Okay, so that's the towhee. Now listen to all the birds. Here we go. And a rooster. Ruby crown kinglet. Papiu, 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 papiu. And the yank, 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 that's the red-breasted nuthatch. And those are juncos. There was even a junco singing. There goes another car a couple hundred meters away. We also have a sapsucker, a junco singing, which is a musical trill, a fairy thrush with its telephone bird call, and this beautiful ruby crown kinglet singing. Try to memorize this song. So there you go. What is it? April the 19th? Oh, I hear that Hutton's vireo again. Ooh, that'd be nice for you to get. Because that's a difficult song to capture. It's such a boring little song. Oh, we're back to the Orange Crown Warbler. Listen to the trill now. Slows down at the end and changes pitch. Here we go. That was it. Okay. It's getting going. Spring is sure getting going, isn't it? There you go. A quick little tour of the birds in backyard here at Mansions Landing. Yeah, our station is here. We've got a new nickname for it. It came out of the Great Cabaret. I want to thank all the performers for the cabaret that happened over the last weekend. You've heard a lot about it advertised. I hope you got to go to it. We had to put on two shows. A wonderful production. Ribald, I think, is the great word I heard about that show. It was lots and lots and lots of fun, and we made money for the station. It was a benefit for the station, so thank you for all of you for supporting it, in particular to Howie, our producer, and also our station manager for doing all the groundwork. But it's the sound guys in the back, Hanu and Sean. Mr. Sean, you are there. I just love it when you're at the controls back there. There was a lot of different acts, a lot of different types of music and microphones that needed to be balanced. And then, of course, the lights. Hanu was working those madly. All was done so well and so slick. Oh, it was a lovely thing. Lovely thing to be part of. Phew. No, we don't have to do that for another year. Ay, 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 caramba. It was hot in there, wasn't it? For those of you who went there. Okay, so I don't know if you got the pygmy owl there where I say try to listen. It was just that. It's a very simple little whistle, eh? And all the little nuances of all the different songs. And I mean, bird watching is actually a misnomer, isn't it? It's bird listening. And actually, the birds I saw weren't saying anything. I saw a song sparrow as well, but it was silent. It was just kind of working its way through the bushes there. I did misidentify that winter wren. I said, oh, that's a winter wren, but that was actually the call note of the ruby-crowned kinglet that. I had said, oh, that's a winter wren, but it isn't. But winter wrens are very, very, very close to that. But all the birds are singing. They're declaring territory. It's an amazing relationship they have to one another, okay? They're all on each other's territory, but they have all evolved to eat different foods, nest in different places, and in turn, of course, have different voices. And you actually have dialects across the country as well. Song sparrow here, or a white-throated sparrow, or a white-crowned sparrow. We don't get very many white throats here, but lots of white crown. The white crown will sound very different in Newfoundland as opposed to British Columbia. But I didn't get it on the recording, but it's quite a classic, more in the open country fields, you know, even here in the gravel parking lots and places like Jewee, deedle 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 wheat. Very classic, and it sings all day long too. So listen out for the white crown. Do wee diddle 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 deet. And they just arrived last week. A lot of these birds have just arrived, but none of these are actually the bird of the week. The bird of the week are the geese that are flying over, and I didn't get a chance to record them. Whenever they were going over, my recorder wasn't close by and I couldn't get it. But I'm sure those of you who live here on Cortez Island heard them yesterday. That would have been April the 18th as many, many flocks flew over. And you know what? You can identify your different species by their sound. They all seem to go honk, honk, honk. Well, the ones that are lower pitched and go honk, 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 honk. Well, that is your Canada goose. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have the snow goose, with, of course, the white bird with the black wingtips. And they flew over in several flocks and mixed flocks. And they go more like honk, 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 honk. Really, really high pitched. And in between the two is the white-fronted goose. And there were several large flocks of them flying yesterday. And they're more, they have more a doublet, and the pitch is kind of in between those two. So, there's your challenge. Next time a flock goes over, see if you can guess which one of the three it was. It's primarily right now the white fronts and the snows that are flying over. So there's your tip of the week. So there'll be more coming because, of course, it is slowly melting up north. Hey, it's melting. Yeah, no, it's not. It's really cold, George. I just checked the weather forecast. And, you know, I give the weather here where I just look outside and it's beautiful blue and it's about 12 degrees Celsius. Oh, my goodness. We've got a little storm coming tonight around midnight or something like that. And it'll rain all day tomorrow or something like that, right? One more shot of rain and a bit of wind. And then, apparently, several days of sunshine and even breaking 13, 14 degrees. Yes, it's been an extraordinary cool spring. And every time it rains, like the storm that's coming tonight, and it puts more snow on the mountains. I mean, the salmon will be happy because there'll be lots of nice water running off those mountains. Yes, sirree. And out east, oh my goodness, they got in Toronto area, they got the ice storms and stuff. Lots and lots of cold air. Coldest periods that they've had in April in many, many, many decades. So, again, it's those differentials. I mentioned it before, like E.C. Pilieu, the great global ecologist, said, well, as the tropics heat up and get warmer and warmer, which is what is happening right now on our planet, more air goes up into the atmosphere, and then it travels to the poles. At way, way up high, many, many, many miles above, and then come down and hit basically the polar regions. And then because there's air coming into the polar regions, the cold air is driven out. So whenever you think of this cold coming down here, think of the Arctic warming up. Interesting enough, eh? Right at the North Pole today, it's 16.9 below zero. It's pretty cold, but not outrageously cold, right? On Grise Fjord, which is an Ellesmere Island, it's minus 15, so about the same. But they're going to have 100-kilometer winds from the east. Ooh, there's a monster storm. If you listen to the show last week where we went out between Ellesmere and Greenland, oh, those are some of the winds that were blowing sometimes. During that voyage, yabba dabba dabba dabba, we don't have to do that part again. Ay, 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 ay. And then Carrot Fjord, which is where we're going today in our recordings, it's 7.6 below. That's the west coast of Greenland, and east coast of Baffin, it's 13 below. So, and I also checked out the ice increases in the Arctic. And yes, the ice is still building because it is so cold, even though it is approaching the third week of April. And if you go to the, you know, Environment Canada website, doesn't matter where you are in the world, and I welcome all my listeners across the globe, go to the Environment Canada weather website, and then you just put in, you know, city, it says access city, and you can put in a city. But if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see marine weather, and then you'll also see ice conditions. Click on the ice conditions, and it takes you to a map. And that map, you can pick out different sections of Canada, and you can then see how much ice is being built up. And what I looked at today was the difference from the normal. And there is more ice being built up on the southern edges of the big ice field that exists between Baffin and Greenland. That's all solid ice. We have a lot of happy polar bears. That's what we have. And unhappy seals. Of course, the seals are pupping right now. It's the ring seal. And other species as well. And the bears are crashing through their dens and enjoying seal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, there's your weather report, both here and far, far away. All right, you're listening to CKTZ and Nature Boy. You can tell I get excited when I get talking about birds. Hey, I started birding when I was 14. Oh, my goodness gracious. And yes, there are less species. That's all there is to it. There's a recent report just came out that they're suspecting mercury is what's actually affecting the bird population, the drop of songbirds, because they get the mercury from insects that hatch out of the water, or if they eat small fish, and the mercury in our environment, and it makes them kind of go loopy. They're not so well adjusted to migrating, and they don't think as fast, just like Mercury affects humans as well too, right? So Mercury is being traced to them, and I know with the ivory gull, they have very high Mercury levels there too. So that's a nasty one. So maybe that's what's happening to the reduction in swallows as well. But it is spring and they're singing, and I'm now going to take you to the Arctic. Yep. If you haven't listened to the show before, we've been traveling. This is show number 8. We've been traveling all the way from the western Canadian Arctic out the Northwest Passage. And I think we're on, day 12 of the actual trip. And every week I play back the recordings. And last week, well, boy, we were stuck in a big storm and 6-7 meter seas. But we're out of that. And we finally are on Greenland and going down the west coast of Greenland. And we'll see what happens. We even go swimming. So I hope you enjoy this next section. It's going to be something else. Let's have, who have we got? Oh, well, Ian Tamlin, my hero, great Zodiac driver. And he's going to just set the mood here for the Arctic saga. Calls that piece Looking Out on Beachy. Nice, with his penny whistle. Lovely job. Ian Tamlin, a true musical icon of Canadian folk music, that's for sure. And he drives the Zodiacs on the ship, as well as, well, play music, entertain us at night, and even write songs. It's just too much. Okay, so I've got to just switch my jack here on my Zoom recorder and go into my computer, and we're going to travel now. It's a 245-foot ship. There's almost 180 passengers, and staff and crew is about another 75. Now we are going, where are we going to start? Oh, that we're going to start in Lancaster Sound. So we're it's kind of closer to Canada. All right, here we go. So I'm outside again after Michael's talk. And we're getting closer to Greenland now. I don't know, I would guess we're 50 miles off of Greenland maybe. I see more icebergs. They weren't out in the middle of Baffin Bay there, where we were last night. The captain keeps the ship away from Greenland during the night. And that's why we stayed offshore, because the icebergs are going north along the coast of Greenland, west coast of Greenland. That's that current that takes them up top of Baffin Bay, Smith Sound, and then they curve over to Baffin Island, Ellesmere and Baffin, and down the coast of Baffin. So they make a northerly trip here. And now I'm just looking in the horizon, the few miles I can see. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 monstrous icebergs, all bigger than this ship. and we're about 300 feet long. And there's a trawler out here, a red trawler, probably from Greenland, and has its lights on, and they scoop up the ocean bottom for anything. Fish, shrimp, you name it. The birds out here are fulmars. We've gotten glaucus gulls as well, some kittiwakes, which look like small gulls with their wingtips dipped in ink. And we also have dovekies, the small auklet, the smallest one, I think, in the world. It's very tiny anyways. It's about 6-8 inches long. And I don't even know if it's 8 inches long. And black and white, and small flocks of them. And they, of course, are feeding. They mostly feed on krill, interesting enough. Well, it's so little. Hard to eat a big fish when you're so little. Temperature's about 4 degrees still. Wind is starting to pick up a little bit. I'd say it's about 15 knots, and there's still that swell left over. I was just talking to a geologist up on deck, and he was just telling me about the oil exploration in Lancaster Sound, how Shell has given up its leases to Lancaster Sound because it's too expensive to produce. And then why bother? He says that's one of the big problems out there right now for corporations. Shell is going into an energy corporation as opposed to oil alone. So more into wind and perhaps even solar. The cost of wells is astronomical. And so if a well stops producing oil, like in Alberta, there's a lot of oil wells, right? I don't know if there's 60,000 or 100,000 of them. There's lots of them. And when they start not being economically viable, in other words, not as much oil is coming out from them, oil companies just walk away from them. They're not forced to, by law, to pour cement down there and close them up. So then the government's having to come in and close up wells that have been orphaned. Orphan wells is a really big problem, because what happens when a oil company walks away from a well and says, not worth it, and they don't plug it with cement, concrete, then the oil starts oozing out on its own. It can either come to the surface, or it just comes up the bore and then goes into the aquifer as well. Really problematic then, of course. And then also when they crack, use the explosives down there, or steam, I suppose, however they burst the rock deep down, that causes even more fracturing. And then the oil, once a well is abandoned, can seep even easier into the aquifer. It's a big problem. There's a lot of people worried about that. The future, eh? Just walk away from, if you don't make money, just walk away from it. Yep. And then you just fold the company up, right? Go bankrupt or whatever, and oh no, that company doesn't exist anymore. Ay, 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 caramba. But in Lancaster Sound here, between, you know, Devon, Ellesmere, and Baffin, and going westward, that area, well, with the big icebergs, and with all the sea ice, you know, 1 to 2 meters of year sea ice being formed, and the drifting of this huge amount of pack of ice, it becomes really too expensive to operate. And he was telling me, the geologist, that, you know, they have to build drilling structures that you can close off the pipe that's pulling up the oil, and then literally drift the oil rig out of the way of the icebergs. And there's lots of icebergs out here, and there'll be more as we get closer and closer to Greenland. So anyways, there's your report. Somewhere out in Baffin Bay, I think he said 73 degrees. So let me see, 73, that's 7 times 6,400. Oh, 1,000 miles from the pole. Oh, just over 1,000 miles and heading southeast. We're hoping to make landfall this afternoon. Nature Boy, you were there. and my hands are really cold. So you're not there holding this microphone. Should have had my gloves on. All right, a cup of tea. So now I'm in the town of Upernavik, Greenland. We got the shore. Here we go. It's open still. There you go. Go on in. I'm just stepping out of the store. Just to describe this little town, I think it's about 1,200 people. I guess if you were looking at the big map of Greenland, it's about three quarters of the way up on the left-hand side or the west coast. And when I look up on the hill, it's like going to a kindergarten school and having all those pastels sitting there and the kids busy at work coloring in the houses. I mean, we've got turquoise, we have English racing car green, we have avocado, we have brick. These are the colors of the houses. We have a beautiful Ligurian blue, blue-gray like the blue-gray tanagers of Central America. Oh, of course, mustard yellow, purple. Oh, do you like lilac? There's lovely lilac out there. And then, of course, there's a fuchsia colored one. Someone got a tin of fuchsia paint. More turquoise, a kind of a sky blue, red, blue, green, more brick red, more blue. It just goes on and on, and they're all situated on a hill, so the houses are all stacked up going up the hill like giant stepping stones. And in the bowl of this bay, it's primarily a fishing town. Great big fishing plant here where they freeze and I guess clean all the fish, and then gets shipped mostly to Europe. Although I think some of it goes to Asia. Oh, there's a pink house, if you're big on pink. There's a pink house there too. And it's our first sunny day in 12 days. Ah, we got here just late this afternoon. It was very difficult getting the passengers off. We had to go up these rocks that we put gravel on so they wouldn't slip in the snow. Yeah, there's about 6 inches of snow here. But we got them on all on shore. And they won't be here very long because we have to leave. Today is solstice, so we have to leave by 1930, last zodiac. So it'll take us at least an hour to unload the group. Looking offshore, the water is finally a nice deep blue. The sky is powder blue, and there are icebergs jammed in the bay. You can see them dotted out in the ocean as well. Some of them have run aground. They can be 200 feet high, and of course they'll be, you know, eight times that below them, 1,000 feet or more below them, right? Depends on their shape. Very picturesque, and the hills are like I said, there was a sprinkling of snow, so it looks like icing sugar once again. I hear a goose. Someone keeps goose here. Geese. Oh, no, it's a dog. Gee, it sounds like a goose. Ah! Give up bird watching, Sirk. Anyways, Upernavik on Greenland, Danish and territory. They don't have complete independence yet. They do have their own parliament, though. And let's go in the store and let's see what the prices are here. Of course, it'd be all in krona. So you have to, if I give it to you in krona, just divide by five. All right, let's go in. It's just like a big supermarket, much bigger than the one that we saw there in Arctic Bay. I'm in the fishing department right away. Fishing line. Oh, heavy, heavy, heavy cord. Fishing line. Good price, though. 150 krona for all of that. Five into that. Gee, that's only $30. That's a very good price. Of course, rain gear, super thick rain gear. Tons of lures all on the wall. Of course, oil, guns, right? Bullets, lots of bullets, and spark plugs. Right. And unlike in... Very good. And of course, washing machines. You have to have the ubiquitous washing machine. A freezer, a small freezer. You know, just one of those little boxes, 3 feet by 2 feet, 3,000. So, what's that, $500-$600 for a small freezer. Barbie dolls, yep, Barbie dolls are here. And, of course, in the hardware store department, thermoses. Ah, soap, all these European, of course, products. That's what comes from Lambie. toilet paper. Let me see, a toilet paper, 10 package of toilet paper, 129. So five into that. Ooh, 30. Wow. Is that right? Oh no, maybe I'm looking at the right, at the wrong one. Oh, that must be bigger ones. $10. $10.50. $12 for a package of 24. Uh-huh. There we go. Anyways, oh, water. We can get some water too. $5 for a big 2-liter bottle of water. There you go, in the TV department. Couches. Oh, we got couches. TV. Oh, tea. Twinings tea. $33 for one of those little boxes of package tea. So $6. Mm-hmm. I always like going to the freezer department, because the freezer department is where all the fish is, and it's really, usually really interesting when we can get what kind of fish we can get. Oh, this is all cow meat. Hey, how are you, John? Oh, here's the fish. Where's the fish? There's a fish section here somewhere. There's lamb. Oh, I don't see any fish. Usually there's all kinds of fish for sale. I don't know what that is. Let me see. Oh, potatoes, frozen potatoes, frozen blueberries. Ah, raspberries, 250 grams, $48. Okay, well, there you go. Cackleberries. Let's see what eggs are. Okay, $7 for 15. Well, you know, when you consider where we are, that's not too bad. I mean, cucumbers, lemons, apples. Let's see what the apples are going for. Little scrawny apples. Oh, five per what? I don't know. It's so, sometimes it's hard to tell. I don't think that's per kilo. Ah, the liquor department. Let's see. We have wine. I think the ship has run out of red wine. Oh, good. Beer. Lots of beer. There's one here that has a fish on it. You know, a big halibut on it. That's always a great treat to get. Good little souvenir. And then, of course, your cigarettes. You have to have cigarettes, don't you? One pack of smokes. Let's see. 130. So 520. Oh, really? No, that's not smokes. That couldn't be smokes. That expensive? Oh, those are different. Those are Nicorettes or something. I don't see the price on smokes. Can't tell. Anyways, gives you an idea. Of course, there's Danishes for sale in the bakery department. Yeah, real Danish in Denmark. Anyways, well, I might do a little shopping here. Get myself maybe a chocolate bar. See how much that is. Okay, Nature Boy. You were shopping with me in Greenland. Get your baskets out. Potato chips. Ooh. Now that would be fun. Sour cream and dill. Bye, everybody.
Good morning. We are currently at 71 degrees, 24 minutes north, 54 degrees and 2 minutes west. Approaching Carrot Island in Carrot Fjord. Temperature outside right now is minus 4 degrees Celsius, with winds of less than 5 knots, with partial cloud. Sunrise today will be at 7:14 a.m. and sunset at 19:25. We're a little behind schedule this morning due to many incredible icebergs outside. And it's a beautiful day, folks. I suggest you come up and have a look. Breakfast is now being served in the dining room. And please stand by for one of Stefan's sayings.
When I think of the Arctic, I think of the summer rain, I think of the sunshine reflected from mountains of snow and ice, shining upon little lakes of clear, rippling water, where hundreds of seals playfully splash the water into glistening sprays of rainbow nuts. What is the charm of the Arctic? Before you is the vast unknown. All around is silence and solitude. In winter, the scene is almost as beautiful as in summer. The nights are clear, the moon and stars shine brightly upon the sea of soft white snow.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
So that's September 22nd, 2016, off of Greenland, and I think I step out on the deck and give a description now of what was going on. You know, earlier when I was giving credit about the cabaret, I forgot to mention Scotty. Yeah, Scotty Martin of Thunder Road is his band, and he was such a great stage manager. It's such an important role, and he did an extraordinary job. Now let's go out on deck and see what it looks like out there, eh? Well, I'm outside at the four below. Not too bad. Lots of ice on deck, though. Have to be very careful walking around. This place has been described as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Well, let's see what that means. Well, the sun hasn't risen yet because it's not 7:14 or whatever. But completely surrounded by mountains, except for the part out at sea, and icebergs, and the ocean, of course. Now we have a very dark gray color to the water, but the cloud cover is speckled. There's a half a moon up there, and it truly is one of those great scenes with the snow on the mountains and a pink glow morning. Pink glow onto the sky, and ooh, it's nice and fresh, and the mountains are turning a nice kind of coral color as the sun rises, and striated by the sandstone, so you have this kind of layer cake look to the mountains with white and dark and white and dark. Good morning.
Wait.
Yes.
I heard an announcement, I thought, so I didn't see this.
Oh.
It was you talking.
Oh, it was me talking. Announcing, just come for the telescope. What do you, I'm just doing my little radio show here. May I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
How about this place in a few words? How do you describe it?
I can do it in one. Absolutely magnificent.
It's two. I'm up early, but it's two.
That was two.
Where are you from?
Guelph, Ontario.
Well, it's pretty in Guelph too, though, isn't it? Magnificent.
Oh, pretty, but not outstanding, awesome, and everything that this place is.
I know it's tough, first thing, but for our listening audience, how would you describe this in maybe more than one word? What do you see?
Let him see. I see an amazing sunrise, icebergs all around, the mountains on land, wonderful geology.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Cold, windy, but definitely worth being here.
Oh, great. Super. Oh, can't wait to go swimming later, huh?
Oh, I think you're going to have to count me out on that one.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we have a polar dip after we get back from our shore walk. We did a polar dip, and it's mandatory for staff. There we go. I just got to go into the bridge here. And grabbing the camera case in the bridge. You have to be nice and quiet. And we need a tripod. There we go. Yes. There's the captain. Good morning, Captain. And he's got his sunglasses out on. He looks like Cool Hand Luke there at the wheel. Great big down coat as well. He likes it cozy, and he's just making sure that we don't get anywhere near these icebergs. is very respectful of icebergs. Oh, that's a cool breeze. I don't have my coat on, of course, because I just came for this telescope. So, let's see what's on land. People are going for a long hike. We're getting near the end of the trip, but I believe this is our last opportunity, one of our last opportunities, if not the last opportunity, to be in a wild place. No humans. Okay, time for a little breakfast. So that's the sound of a bubbling brook on Greenland. We couldn't land at Carrot Fjord. Carrot, I believe, is spelled K-A-R-O-T-T, something like that. Because of the fog. We could see the mountain sticking up through the top of the fog, and we could see the sea with its icebergs, but the fog started about 50 feet above sea level and went up to about, well, I don't know, 1,500 feet up. So we couldn't make a landing, because if there was a bear on land, we wouldn't be able to see it. So we aborted that trip and continued down. I had a nice lunch on the back deck there. It was very nice. Icebergs floating by. And now we've landed along the coast of Greenland. Doesn't matter where I am, does it really? As far as a name, I don't think this bay has a name. But it's a very flat, gravelly habitat. There are mounds of willows. So a lot of fine, soft gravel. And I mean flat, like a playing field. And No big boulders or anything, just small rocks here and there, and this pea-sized gravel and then sand underneath it, and it's all very black. And there's mounds here and there, and they're of the willows. I'm not sure how many species of willows live in this part of Greenland. Let's just say half a dozen, maybe more. There'll be more as you get further south. And these willows, of course, are about 1 to 2 inches high. That's as far as willows get. And then they spread out like a big mat. And the larger ones have made clumps around themselves of catching the wind. And the wind then drops the sand on them. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So these are ancient willows, even though their stems are hardly the size of my little finger. So the whole area is dotted with these things about every 20 feet, and there's a little pile of snow on them too, but not much. The ground is really quite bare, but the hills around me are all filled with snow. Not a lot of snow, maybe a few inches, that's all, but it makes them very, very, very white. And there, the hills are about half a mile away or so, and like a bowl-shaped valley, and then reaching to the back. So it's all a terminal moraine. This is what the glaciers have ground down from the bedrock of Greenland way up, and then pushed and shoved down here, down to the ocean, as the glaciers were pushing themselves forward. Now they've retreated here, so they're not pushing into the ocean, but I can't even see the beginning of the glacier, but I see great mounds of gravel everywhere, like at the edges of this great big valley. And I'm looking for Arctic hares. I haven't seen any yet. It'd be nice to get some. There's some grassy patches up ahead, and maybe they'll be there. It seems to be like a wild rye. Temperature's about, 2 degrees. I had to take all my plastic, fantastic, Gore-Tex coat off and my pants, because otherwise it'd be too hot, actually, walking around here. Oh, some of these willows here have this little down of them as they've gone to seed. The shadows are quite long. It's September 23rd, I believe. And it is sunny, high overcast, but sunny hooray, and the sea is a calm. Ugh! After what we faced earlier, it's nice to be able to say that. But there's a wheatear here, a group of birds called wheatears, and they're neat because, well, first of all, they live here, so anything that lives here is neat. But the ones over here in Greenland and the eastern Arctic, like on Baffin Island and Ellesmere, they go to Europe and then migrate down to Africa, down to about the middle of Africa on the west coast of Africa. And then the wheatears that nest in the western part of Canada, over there by Kugluktuk or so, they and westward, they migrate across to Siberia, down the Siberian coast, right across Asia, like where Afghanistan is, and continue over to Africa, and they overwinter on the other side of Africa, around the equator, from the ones that winter on the eastern coast, the ones from Siberia, the ones from western Canada, end up in the in the western side of Africa, if you get what I mean. All right. Now I'm going to set up my telescope and see if I can see anything. Anyways, I don't know if that made sense. I was having to listen to the radio. So basically the ones that are here in the eastern Arctic end up in the west coast of Africa, and the ones in the western Arctic end up on the east coast of Africa via Asia. They're small birds, kind of smaller than a robin, closely related. They have a very striking tail pattern in the shape of a white T, and they are kind of buff colored and have quite a long bill like a robin, and insectivorous, and they're fun. They're a fun bird. I like them. Anyways, I'll see if I can find us an Arctic hare. I've seen some caribou footprints, and there should be muskox here, but the thing is, they're hunted. So all these animals, as soon as we land, they go, uh-oh, time to get out of here. So let me have a look around. All right, Nature Boy, you were there on Greenland. All right, so that's a beautiful, beautiful bay, and it was so great to set up the telescope and look around. And when people were, it was, you know, the guests had an opportunity to just wander, you know, guided tour and some yak naturalist, you know, telling them all about all the wonderful things of nature. They just, and so either by themselves or in couples or maybe a small group, people would wander all over this beach. And that was, oh my goodness, it had a couple of miles they could walk from one side to the other. And then way up on the hills surrounding this bowl, that's where our gunners were situated, just in case there were polar bears. It's very, very rare to see a polar bear in Greenland. Actually, after all the seasons, I mean, I don't know, out of 11, maybe I've been to Greenland about 6 different seasons, I've never seen a polar bear in Greenland. They just don't favor that side of the coast. And that's because the waters are warmer up against Greenland on that west coast of Greenland. The water that comes around the southern part of Greenland and catches the Gulf Current there and then comes up the coast of Greenland, well, it tends to keep that part of the coast melted. The ice doesn't form because of more current and also warmer water. And so the bears favored the Baffin side, the Baffin Island side, the Canadian side. So it's straight just a physical thing that bears don't want to be on land. They want to be on the ice, so they don't really like the Greenland side. But we don't take chances, so we have our gunners up there just in case one turns up and then we have to leave the beach. It was a nice chance for people just to wander around on their own, especially after being cooped up on the ship, eh? It's nice to just, okay, I'm just going to go and have a look-see around. The next segment I've got here is where we are going to go on a polar bear dip. First, I think just a short piece still on the beach, and then we get back onto the ship. And if you've never done a polar bear dip where you jump off the ship into the water, you're in for a treat. That's what's coming up. You're listening to CKTZ on Cortez Island, 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio. My name is George Cirque, and this is Nature Boy, and we are going to go back to that beach near Carrot Fjord in Greenland. So I've just gotten back to the beach at this beautiful bay where I've just described, and we're loading the Zodiacs. And how it works is when people get off the Zodiacs, they're helped off the Zodiacs, and then they all take their life jackets off and put them in a big pile. Those are the kinds of life jackets that are actually not inflated until you hit the water. They have a little carbon dioxide canister. I think it's carbon dioxide. And so they'll inflate if you're in the water. Otherwise, they're very small and quite compact. And we throw them all in a big blue bag, and then everybody comes back. They get their life jacket and get their boots, change out of their hiking boots and back into their gum boots. And today, well, you hear that? That's a little whiskey, a little bit of whiskey on some iceberg ice in a little plastic cup. Very nice. I don't have to drive a Zodiac. I don't have to handle a gun. So, a little whiskey down the hatch. Now for the coup d'etat for the day. We're going for our polar swim. Oh dear. Dreaded. The water's between, well, 2.8 below zero and 1 degree above. Even though it's calm and it looks warm, there's ice all over it, little pieces, and of course the giant icebergs spread throughout it. But it's calm, and we're going to go for our polar dip. So next time you hear me, I'll be dressed in my outfit and racing for the water. That's going to be horrid.
Somebody needs to be responsible.
Who?
Patch has it.
No, not Patch!
We're all in the lounge wearing our dressing gowns and bathing suits. And there's about 40 of us going to go on our polar bear dip.
Yeah, so here's how it's going to work. Ladies and gentlemen, our fearless expedition leader, our recently become fearless expedition leader, a new convert, is going to lead us through the ship down to the starboard gangway, because as much as I know you've all learned over the last 10 or 12 days or so, I know you have no idea how to get to the starboard gangway.
Yeah, I do.
So, Jason's going to take us down there, make as much hooping and hollering along the way, because what's already becoming clear, and I see the sheepish looks of the faces of the people who are not wearing housecoats, what's already being clear here is who's having way more fun.
Classy.
All the way through the ship to the starboard gangway.
I get hired just for my costumes.
Okay. Yeah.
You will take the plunge with two seamen standing by, and as long as there's no current, you will climb right back onto the platform.
As long as there's no current.
If there's a current, you may swim to the next gangway. It's actually easier that way, rather than swimming back against it. Okay? You will be told that you can simply jump in and climb back on.
Bounce off the water.
If there is a substantial current, we'll jump in at one gangway and float down to the next.
Forget it. I want out as fast as possible.
You can also, you can ask to be tethered to the ship. Okay?
I want to be tethered to the whiskey bottle.
You're out, seaman, George.
Yes. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Close off the pipe that's pulling up the oil, and then literally drift the oil rig out of the way of the icebergs. And there's lots of icebergs out here, and there'll be more as we get closer and closer to Greenland. So anyways, there's your report. Somewhere out in Baffin Bay, I think he said 73 degrees. So let me see, 73, that's 7 times 6,400. Oh, 1,000 miles from the pole. Oh, just over 1,000 miles and heading southeast. Ah, we're hoping to make landfall this afternoon. Nature Boy, you were there, and my hands are really cold. So you're not there holding this microphone. Should have had my gloves on. All right, a cup of tea. So now I'm in the town of Upernavik, Greenland. We got the shore. Here we go. It's open still. There you go. Go on in. I'm just stepping out of the store. Just to describe this little town, I think it's about 1,200 people. I guess if you were looking at the big map of Greenland, it's about three quarters of the way up on the left-hand side or the west coast. And when I look up on the hill, it's like going to a kindergarten school and having all those pastels sitting there and the kids busy at work coloring in the houses. I mean, we've got turquoise, we have English racing car green, we have avocado, we have brick. These are the colors of the houses. We have a beautiful Ligurian blue, blue-gray, like the blue-gray tanagers of Central America. Oh, of course, mustard yellow, purple. Oh, do you like lilac? There's lovely lilac out there. And then, of course, there's a fuchsia colored one. Someone got a tin of fuchsia paint. Turquoise, a kind of a sky blue, red, blue, green, more brick red, more blue. It just goes on and on, and they're all situated on a hill, so the houses are all stacked up, going up the hill, like giant stepping stones. And in the bowl of this bay, it's primarily a fishing town. Great big fishing plant here where they freeze and, I guess, clean all the fish, and then get shipped mostly to Europe. Although I think some of it goes to Asia. Oh, there's a pink house, if you're big on pink. There's a pink house there too. And it's our first sunny day in 12 days. Ah, we got here just late this afternoon. It was very difficult getting the passengers off. We had to go up these rocks that we put gravel on so they wouldn't slip in the snow. Yeah, there's about 6 inches of snow here. But we got them on, all on shore. And they won't be here very long because we have to leave. Today is solstice, so we have to leave by 1930, last zodiac. So it'll take us at least an hour to unload the group. Looking offshore, the water is finally a nice deep blue. The sky is powder blue, and there are icebergs jammed in the bay. You can see them dotted out in the ocean as well. Some of them have run aground. They can be 200 feet high, and of course they'll be, you know, eight times that below them, 1,000 feet or more below them, right? Depends on their shape. Very picturesque, and the hills are like I said, there was a sprinkling of snow, so it looks like icing sugar once again. I hear a goose. Someone keeps goose here. Geese. Oh, no, it's a dog. Gee, it sounds like a goose. Ah! Give up bird watching, Sirk. Anyways, Upernavik on Greenland, Danish and territory. They don't have complete independence yet. They do have their own parliament, though. And let's go in the store and let's see what the prices are here. Of course, it'd be all in krona. So you have to, if I give it to you in krona, just divide by 5. All right, let's go in. It's just like a big supermarket, much bigger than the one that we saw there in Arctic Bay. I'm in the fishing department right away. Fishing line. Oh, heavy, heavy, heavy cord. Fishing line. Good price, though. 150 krona for all of that. Five into that. Gee, that's only $30. That's a very good price. Of course, rain gear, super thick rain gear. Tons of lures all on the wall. Of course, oil, guns, right? Bullets, lots of bullets, and spark plugs. Right. And unlike in Very good. And of course, washing machines. You have to have the ubiquitous washing machine. A freezer, a small freezer, you know, just one of those little boxes, 3 feet by 2 feet, $3,000. So what's that, $500-$600 for a small freezer. Barbie dolls, yep, Barbie dolls are here. And of course, in the hardware store department, thermoses. Ah, soap, all these European, of course, products. That's what comes from Lambie. Toilet paper, let me see, a toilet paper. 10 package of toilet paper, 129. So five into that. Ooh, 30. Wow. Is that right? Oh, no, maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. No, that must be bigger ones. $10. $10.50, $12 for a package of 24. Uh-huh. There we go. Anyways, oh, water. We can get some water, too. $5 for a big 2-liter bottle of water. There you go, in the TV department. Couches. Oh, we got couches. TV. Oh, tea. Twinings tea. $33 for one of those little boxes of packaged tea, so $6. Mm-hmm. I always like going to the freezer department because the freezer department is where all the fish is, and it's really, usually really interesting when we can get what kind of fish we can get. Oh, this is all cow meat. Hey, how are you, John? Oh, here's the fish. Where's the fish? There's a fish section here somewhere. There's lamb. Oh, I don't see any fish. Usually there's all kinds of fish for sale. I don't know what that is. Let me see. Oh. Potatoes, frozen potatoes, frozen blueberries, raspberries, 250 grams, $48. Okay, well, there you go. Cackleberries, let's see what eggs are. Okay, $7 for 15. Well, you know, when you consider where we are, that's not too bad. I mean, cucumbers, lemons, apples. Let's see what the apples are going for. Little scrawny apples. Oh, five per what? I don't know. It's so sometimes it's hard to tell. I don't think that's per kilo. Ah, the liquor department. Let's see. We have wine. I think the ship has run out of red wine. Oh, good. Beer. Lots of beer. There's one here that has a fish on it. You know, a big halibut on it. That's always a great treat to get. Good little souvenir. And then, of course, your cigarettes. You have to have cigarettes, don't you? One pack of smokes, let's see, 130. So 520. Oh, really? No, that's not smokes. That couldn't be smokes. That expensive? Oh, those are different. Those are Nicorettes or something. I don't see the price on smokes. Can't tell. Anyways, gives you an idea. Of course, there's Danishes for sale in the bakery department. Yeah, real Danish in Denmark. Anyways, well, I might do a little shopping here. Get myself maybe a chocolate bar. See how much that is. Okay, Nature Boy, you were shopping with me in Greenland. Get your baskets out. Potato chips. Ooh, now that would be fun. Sour cream and dill. Bye, everybody.
Good morning. We are currently at 71 degrees, 24 minutes north, 54 degrees and 2 minutes west, approaching Carrot Island in Carrot Fjord. Temperature outside right now is minus 4 degrees Celsius, with winds of less than 5 knots, with partial cloud. Sunrise today will be at 7:14 a.m. and sunset at 19:25. We're a little behind schedule this morning, due to many incredible icebergs outside. And it's a beautiful day, folks. I suggest you come up and have a look. Breakfast. breakfast is now being served in the dining room. And please stand by for one of Stefan's sayings.
When I think of the Arctic, I think of the summer rain, I think of the sunshine reflected from mountains of snow and ice, shining upon little lakes of clear, rippling water, where hundreds of seals playfully splash the water into glistening sprays of rainbow hue. What is the charm of the Arctic? Before you is the vast unknown. All around is silence and solitude. In winter, the scene is almost as beautiful as in summer. The nights are clear, the moon and stars shine brightly upon the sea of soft white snow.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
So that's September 22nd, 2016, off of Greenland. And I think I step out on the deck and give a description now of what was going on. You know, earlier when I was giving credit about the cabaret, I forgot to mention Scotty. Yeah, Scotty Martin of Thunder Road is his band. He was such a great stage manager. It's such an important role, and he did an extraordinary job. Now let's go out on deck and see what it looks like out there, eh? Well, I'm outside at the four below. Not too bad. Lots of ice on deck, though. Have to be very careful walking around. This place has been described as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Well, let's see what that means. Well, the sun hasn't risen yet because it's not 7:14 or whatever. But completely surrounded by mountains except for the part out at sea. And icebergs. And the ocean, of course. Now we have a very dark gray color to the water. But the cloud cover is speckled. There's a half a moon up there, and it truly is one of those great scenes with the snow on the mountains and a pink glow morning, pink glow onto the sky, and it's nice and fresh, and the mountains are turning a nice kind of coral color as the sun rises, and striated by the sandstone, so you have this kind of layer cake look to the mountains with white and dark and white and dark. Good morning! Yes?
I heard an announcement, I thought, so I came to see what it was.
Oh!
It was you talking.
Oh, it was me talking. Announcing. Just come for the telescope. What do you, I'm just doing my little radio show here. May I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
How about this place in a few words? How do you describe it?
I can do it in one. Absolutely magnificent.
It's two. I'm up early, but it's two.
That was two.
Where are you from?
Guelph, Ontario.
Well, it's pretty in Guelph too, though, isn't it? Magnificent.
Oh, pretty, but not outstanding, awesome, and everything that this place is.
I know it's tough, first thing, but for our listening audience, how would you describe this in maybe more than one word? What do you see?
Let him see. I see an amazing sunrise, icebergs all around, the mountains on land, wonderful geology.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Cold, windy, but definitely worth being here.
Oh, great. Super. Oh, can't wait to go swimming later, huh?
Oh, I think you're going to have to count me out on that one.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we have a polar dip after we get back from our shore walk. We did a polar dip, and it's mandatory for staff. There we go. I just got to go into the bridge here. And there he goes. He's grabbing the camera case in the bridge, you have to be nice and quiet. And we need a tripod. There we go. Yes. There's the captain. Good morning, Captain. And he's got his sunglasses out on. He looks like Cool Hand Luke there at the wheel. Great big down coat as well. He likes it cozy, and he's just making sure that we don't get anywhere near these icebergs. He's very respectful of icebergs. Ooh, that's a cool breeze. I don't have my coat on, of course, because I just came for this telescope. So let's see what's on land. People are going for a long hike. We're getting near the end of the trip. But I believe this is our last opportunity, one of our last opportunities, if not the last opportunity, to be in a wild place. No humans. Okay, time for a little breakfast. So that's the sound of a bubbling brook on Greenland. We couldn't land at Carrot Fjord. Carrot, I believe, is spelled K-A-R-O-T-T, something like that. Because of the fog. We could see the mountain sticking up through the top of the fog. And we could see the sea with its icebergs. The fog started about 50 feet above sea level and went up to about, 1,500 feet up. So we couldn't make a landing, because if there was a bear on land, we wouldn't be able to see it. So we aborted that trip and continued down. I had a nice lunch on the back deck there. It was very nice. Icebergs floating by. And now we've landed along the coast of Greenland. Doesn't matter where I am, does it really? As far as a name, I don't think this bay has a name. But it's a very flat, gravelly habitat. There are mounds of willows. So a lot of fine, soft gravel. And I mean flat, like a playing field. And No big boulders or anything, just small rocks here and there, and this pea-sized gravel and then sand underneath it, and it's all very black. And there's mounds here and there, and they're of the willows. I'm not sure how many species of willows live in this part of Greenland. Let's just say half a dozen, maybe more. There'll be more as you get further south. And these willows, of course, are about 1 to 2 inches high. That's as far as willows get. And then they spread out like a big mat. And the larger ones have made clumps around themselves of catching the wind. And the wind then drops the sand on them. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So these are ancient willows, even though their stems are hardly the size of my little finger. So the whole area is dotted with these things about every 20 feet, and there's a little pile of snow on them too, but not much. The ground is really quite bare, but the hills around me are all filled with snow. Not a lot of snow, I mean, a few inches, that's all, but it makes them very, very, very white. And there, the hills are about half a mile away or so, and like a bowl-shaped valley, and then reaching to the back. So it's all a terminal moraine. This is what the glaciers have ground down from the bedrock of Greenland way up, and then pushed and shoved down here, down to the ocean, as the glaciers were pushing themselves forward. Now they've retreated here, so they're not pushing into the ocean. But I can't even see the beginning of the glacier, but I see great mounds of gravel everywhere, like at the edges of this great big valley. And I'm looking for Arctic hares. I haven't seen any yet. It'd be nice to get some. There's some grassy patches up ahead, and maybe they'll be there. It seems to be like a wild rye. Temperature's about, 2 degrees. I had to take all my plastic, fantastic, you know, Gore-Tex coat off and my pants, because otherwise it'd be too hot actually walking around here. Oh, some of these willows here have this little down of them as they've gone to seed. The shadows are quite long. It's September 23rd, I believe. And it is sunny, high overcast, but sunny hooray, and the sea is a calm. Ugh! After what we faced earlier, it's nice to be able to say that. But there's a wheatear here, a group of birds called wheatears, and they're neat because, well, first of all, they live here. So anything that lives here is neat. But the ones over here in Greenland and the eastern Arctic, like on Baffin Island and Ellesmere, they go to Europe, and they migrate down to Africa, down to about the middle of Africa, on the west coast of Africa. And then the wheatears that nest in the western part of Canada, over there by Kugluktuk or so, and westward, they migrate across to Siberia, down the Siberian coast, right across Asia, like where Afghanistan is, and continue over to Africa, and they overwinter on the other side of Africa, around the equator, from the ones that winter on the eastern coast, the ones from Siberia, the ones from western Canada, end up in the western side of Africa, if you get what I mean. All right. Now I'm going to set up my telescope and see if I can see anything. Anyways, I don't know if that made sense. I was having to listen to the radio. So basically the ones that are here in the eastern Arctic end up in the west coast of Africa, and the ones in the western Arctic end up on the east coast of Africa via Asia. They're small birds, kind of smaller than a robin, closely related. They have a very striking tail pattern in the shape of a white T, and they are kind of buff colored and have quite a long bill like a robin, and insectivorous, they're a fun bird. I like them. Anyways, I'll see if I can find an Arctic hare. I've seen some caribou footprints, and there should be muskox here, but the thing is, they're hunted. So all these animals, as soon as we land, they go, uh-oh, time to get out of here. So let me have a look around. All right, Nature Boy, you were there on Greenland. All right, so that's a beautiful, beautiful bay, and it was so great to set up the telescope and look around. And when people were, it was, you know, the guests had an opportunity to just wander, you know, guided tour, and some yak naturalist, you know, telling them all about all the wonderful things of nature. They just, and so either by themselves or in couples or maybe a small group, people would wander all over this beach. And that was, oh my goodness, it had a couple of miles they could walk from one side to the other. And then way, way up on the hills surrounding this bowl, that's where our gunners were situated, just in case there were polar bears. It's very, very rare to see a polar bear in Greenland. Actually, after all the seasons, I mean, I don't know, out of 11, maybe I've been to Greenland about 6 different seasons, I've never seen a polar bear in Greenland. They just don't favor that side of the coast. And that's because the waters are warmer up against Greenland on that west coast of Greenland. The water that comes around the southern part of Greenland and catches the Gulf Current there and then comes up the coast of Greenland, well, it tends to keep that part of the coast melted. The ice doesn't form because of more current and also warmer water. And so the bears favored the Baffin side, the Baffin Island side, the Canadian side. So it's straight just a physical thing that bears don't want to be on land. They want to be on the ice, so they don't really like the Greenland side. But we don't take chances, so we have our gunners up there just in case one turns up and then we have to leave the beach. It was a nice chance for people just to wander around on their own, especially after being cooped up on the ship, eh? It's nice to just, okay, I'm just going to go and have a look-see around. The next segment I've got here is where we are going to go on a polar bear dip. First, I think I just a short piece still on the beach, and then we get back onto the ship. And if you've never done a polar bear dip where you jump off the ship into the water, you're in for a treat. That's what's coming up. You're listening to CKTZ on Cortez Island, 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio. My name is George Cirque, and this is Nature Boy. And we are going to go back to that beach near Carrot Fjord in Greenland. So I've just gotten back to the beach at this beautiful bay where I've just described, and we're loading the Zodiacs. And how it works is when people get off the Zodiacs, they're helped off the Zodiacs, and then they all take their life jackets off and put them in a big pile. Those are the kinds of life jackets that are actually not inflated until you hit the water. They have a little carbon dioxide canister. I think it's carbon dioxide. And so they'll inflate if you're in the water. Otherwise, they're very small and quite compact. And we throw them all in a big blue bag, and then everybody comes back. They get their life jacket and get their boots, change out of their hiking boots and back into their gum boots. And today, well, you hear that? That's a little whiskey, a little bit of whiskey on some iceberg ice in a little plastic cup. Very nice. I don't have to drive a Zodiac. I don't have to handle a gun. So, little whiskey down the hatch. Now for the coup d'etat for the day. We're going for our polar swim. Oh dear. Dreaded. The water's between, 2.8 below zero and 1 degree above. Even though it's calm and it looks warm, there's ice all over it, little pieces, and of course the giant icebergs spread throughout it. But it's calm. And we're going to go for our polar dip. So next time you hear me, I'll be dressed in my outfit and racing for the water. That's going to be horrid.
Somebody needs to be responsible.
Who?
Patch
has it. No, not Patch. Not Patch.
We're all in the lounge wearing our dressing gowns and bathing suits. And there's about 40 of us going to go on our polar bear dip.
Yeah, so here's how it's going to work, ladies and gentlemen. Our fearless expedition leader, our recently become fearless expedition leader, a new convert, is going to lead us through the ship down to the starboard gangway. Because as much as I know, you've all learned over the last 10 or 12 days or so, I know you have no idea how to get to the starboard gangway.
Yeah, I do.
So, Jason's going to take us down there, make as much hooping and hollering along the way, because what's already becoming clear, and I see the sheepish looks of the faces of the people who are not wearing housecoats, what's already being clear here is who's having way more fun.
Classy.
All the way through the ship to the starboard gangway.
There I get hired just for my costumes.
Okay. Yeah.
You will take the plunge with two seamen standing by, and as long as there's no current, you will climb right back onto the platform.
It's no current.
If there's a current, I'm sincere about this, you may swim to the next gangway. It's actually easier that way, rather than swimming back against it. Okay? You will be told that you can simply jump in and climb back on.
Bounce off the water.
If there is a substantial current, we'll jump in at one gangway and float down to the next.
Forget it. I want out as fast as possible.
You can also you can ask to be tethered to the ship. Okay?
I want to be tethered to the whiskey bottle.
Have your own semen, George.
Aye. Yes. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16.